Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
The question, of course, that we've been wondering this morning is what would it mean for the government to declare a state of emergency with regard to current protests? Jasmine Opperman is a terrorist specialist focusing on Africa. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us so bright and early. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard. I never thought we would have this interview now, did we?
Yeah, it's such a strange and bizarre state of affairs as we look across the country from the relative safety of our own homes and our own areas. But, it's very, very disturbing. And I guess the number one, priority is for government to get this under control.
We are sitting with an economic and security sector that has intersected and presented us with a risk, though many people say they expected this, and it's been coming for a while, still to see it at play and face it. And hence, to go back to your question, Howard, a state of emergency will make no difference. It has been announced now that 25,000 soldiers are going to be deployed. We only have about 15 to 16,000 soldiers. Reserves have been for the first time called up since 1994. So it is the largest military deployment since our elections in 1994. What will a state of emergency bring? Yes, it will be different in terms of our constitution to apartheid. That's not the issue here. But I agree, we need urgent law and order.
That's an interesting point, because what would a state of emergency do that putting law enforcement onto the streets wouldn't do?
That is a problem now. Already we're supposed to have COVID lockdown. So we have already police. Military is going way beyond its capacity. It is really tapping into everything we have. What do we expect now? What will a state of emergency give the president? Some sudden insight to give a U-turn to the situation? I doubt seriously. What is needed now is for government to have a serious introspection. The security sector has been out of control for way too long. Our intelligence has been absent for way too long. And that should be the focus. For now, I'm not even talking about the economic and humanitarian disasters we are facing.
So it's interesting, because you and I have had this conversation many times with regard to the state or the level of our intelligence in South Africa. And this is a concern that you've had and voiced on this show repeatedly. Are we seeing now exactly what you were concerned about?
It actually, Howard, and it's sad to say, having worked in intelligence for 19 years, and it's a passion, you know my passion for intelligence.
Yes.
The Zuma impact cannot be underplayed, but we should stop seeking excuses. We are sitting with, and now I'm talking civilian intelligence specifically, but crime intelligence we know has been corrupted for some years now. The president is trying to clear up, but civilian intelligence playing a crucial role. We are sitting with a politicization that is way beyond even my imagination. We are running on a state without credible intelligence, and we are seeing the consequences. We do not have it in place.
What's fascinating to me is that I'm getting messages from all over the show, screenshots of WhatsApp groups where people are very clearly inciting violence. If I'm getting them, and I'm not involved in law enforcement on any level, surely our intelligence, our law enforcement are seeing the same messages and should be able to identify exactly who's involved in this and cut it off from the top and not deal with it only on the ground.
I agree. And Howard, if you look at their budget and their budget allocation, compare that to the defense force that now must do a Hail Mary solution, which they don't have. We are paying them, taxpayers, to be proactive. Now they're stepping in, the minister says, we've tried our best. I am sorry, minister. That's not good enough. Where's the early warning? When that decision was taken on our former president, and not that I'm saying it's now all about Zuma, it's definitely not.
Of course.
But then already President Ramaphosa should have been presented with a detailed implication assessment, a detailed forecasting, and what should be in place to counter these things. Now to step in, we're chasing again security. We should not be chasing security. We should be securing security and what we have. And that is the problem we are sitting with. So a state of emergency, ironically, should actually be declared on government themselves for complete implosion.
What I also find fascinating is that we've lived this long enough, so we know about Bell Pottinger. We know that Zuma has used social media, the race, focus on race, divisiveness. He's used it magnificently. He's created social Twitter bots. He's done this very, very well in the past. Surely it was obvious that exactly. There was going to be this campaign the minute he was backed against a wall, the minute he could see no maneuverability, this was going to be launched. It really doesn't take a genius to know this.
Exactly. I mean, if in our history, if we go to former President Thabo Mbeki, and when he took actions against the former President Zuma, we saw the implications at Polokwane, and what followed that. And now we're sitting, not that I'm saying it's a similar situation, course, please, I'm not saying that. But I agree. But more than that, Howard, we all had a broad understanding. Intelligence at that point had to be far more precise. If you look at the name of instigators as being accused of instigating protest actions or vandalism, more specifically KZN, these names are familiar. These names are known to us. Surely the intelligence could have given far more precise analysis, far more precise in terms of what is said to happen. And now we're sitting with a situation where we have red zones that cannot even be managed. It's a bizarre, it's a complete intelligence failure at play with the consequences.
Here's a conspiracy theory, and tell me if I am smoking something. Could this ultimately benefit the, in inverted commas, good ANC, Cyril Ramaphosa and the team, because it displays just the level of evil in the bad ANC, in the pro-Zuma faction? Could it have benefited them to allow this to go on for a few days?
I would not even call it a conspiracy, Howard. I would call it a very sober look at the state of ANC factionalism. President Ramaphosa from the beginning is seeking consensus politics. If you look at the initial cabinet, it's clearly it was a compromised cabinet. Sure. So the question is, what is his position at this point in time, which is extremely difficult for me to answer? Is his position being weakened? Because that weakened position, and let's call them by name, Howard, will serve people like Ace, will serve people that have had their hands in the cookie jar, if I may use that saying. And how many of these ANC people are sitting back in cabinet, in the national executive, and thinking that I could be walking the same road? So yes, I don't even call it a conspiracy. The ANC factionalism at play cannot be ignored in all of this. And I do hope that the president's position will not be weakened to the extent where he's compromising to such, like you say, behavior and allowing the situation to deteriorate.
How strong is he? Because it bothered me when he spoke on Monday night. He appeared to be a man alone. In a normal country, I've said this to our listeners before, in a normal country you would have had the head of the army, the police, emergency services, whomever, standing behind him to show support. He didn't do that. It made me worry.
He looked tired now, Howard. He was tired, he was drained, one could see it. And frankly, when he addressed the nation, initially, a lot of criticism. I'm thinking, okay, not that I'm hereby being particularly biased. I am not. What should he have said? What did you expect from him? But what is clear is the dire need for decisive action. action. And I think, and the fact that the president seems to be holding back, but seems to be unsure at certain times, seems to be walking a tight rope, do indicate that there within the ANC is a search by the president that he needs support, ground support, for him to be able to execute. And it is the president's Nelson Mandela's moment. Is he going to be able to do it beyond these realities? If not, I think we are going to see some serious implications for his leadership.
I think so too. And unfortunately, I've always called him the Hamlet, because he procrastinates and unfortunately doesn't, although he had the support and certainly probably still does have the support of people, if he doesn't act, if he doesn't act decisively, it'll end in a tragedy. Jasmin Opperman, thank you as always
thank
for
you,
a fascinating conversation.